It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282. And let's talk legal.
And Cecil Harvell is in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about dying without a will.
Intestate.
Correct. It's been a while since we've talked about what happens if we die without a last will and testament, Ben. And let's kind of go through that, if you will, this morning.
Okay.
Ben, it starts with the fact that I just need to state that, you know, there are a lot of our citizens who die without a will. Even, you know, elder citizens. It's a very common occurrence for a law office. And so we see it on an everyday basis. It's not what we want to see, but, and there are complications, which we're going to talk about here today and probably again next Tuesday, but it's a very common occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the gate, we should say it's not what a good lawyer would recommend.
Right.
Now, the first question, Ben, is someone dies without a will.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, of course, is going to be locked down, okay? And there's going to need to then be the qualification of the personal representative.
Mm-hmm.
The personal representative is also known as the executor and also known as the administrator. These are all the same, purpose, the same duties. They wear the same hat, and these are just different names that lawyers through the year and the lawyers through the years and the law through the year have adopted. For instance, an executor is the personal representative under the last will and testament. The administrator is the executor, if you will, but the person in charge, the folks with the authority under, you know, an estate without a will, or as you mentioned, intestate succession. Intestate succession.
Mm-hmm.
So the initial question is, well, who in the world is going to be the administrator?
Right. Okay. That becomes a huge question.
That's the question.
For a lot of families.
And the statutes of North Carolina begin to give us some direction in that the spouse, if there is a spouse, is going to have a preference before the clerk of court to qualify as the administrator of the estate. And so the clerk will look to the spouse for qualification. This is going to be an area right out of the gate, Ben, where there can be controversy.
Mm-hmm.
There can even be hearings before the court to determine what is in the best interest of this estate as to who the administrator will be. This guideline from the statute that the spouse is the first up to bat is a guideline. It is not absolutely controlling on the clerk of court. If it can be shown that it's not in the best interest of the estate that the spouse be the administrator. The next person, of course, that one would think about would be the adult children or child. Of course, if there's only one child, then that's going to be a little bit easier factually.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, so many times there's more than one child. And so which child? Is it the older child? Is it the middle child? Is it the child that lives in state versus out of state? Again, all of this is within the discretion of the court, and there will need to be a determination. Now, if the family can come together and agree that this particular person, be it the surviving spouse, if there is one, or if there is not, this particular child, if there are two or three children, and they all sign a waiver, if you will, a renunciation of their right to qualify as administrator, then we're in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Jane steps up to the plate, and she is the administrator of this estate that the testator did not have a will.
Okay.
So yeah. The first question is going to be, who in the world is going to be the administrator?
Yeah.
Who's going to have the authority to marshal together the assets, pay the bills of the estate, and then begin to make distributions? And we see right off that this it can become controversial.
And you have, well, unfortunately, you have so many times where there's a broken family already involved. There's been a divorce, or maybe there's been a separation, not even a divorce yet, but a separation, and might even be another, spousal equivalent. We'll say a partner who is a parent of a child they have together, and
absolutely,
it gets to be such a mess.
Ben, absolutely. Every permutation of life and living, every particular circumstance can be at the lawyer's table to consider. And let's just for a moment pause and contrast that with, you know, a written last will and testament that says, I hereby appoint Sue. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a written last will and testament. And guess what? If Sue can qualify, and in other words, if she's living, she's competent, then that's what has to be done.
Right.
Now, someone can come forth, if we've discussed in the program at other programs, and say, well, Susan is not doing a good job and we would like for her to be removed.
Mm-hmm. But that's another story.
But that's another story. In terms of qualification, the last will and testament directs who the executor will be, and that is the one and only person that the clerk of court can qualify.
This is an issue that a lot of people really, unfortunately, do not face until it's after the fact, and you're trying to put out the fire.
Well, that's why I start at the very beginning, because we can see that at the very beginning there can be the holy war between various members of the family, blended family, children from prior marriages, second spouses, as you say, divorced persons, et cetera, as to what is in the best interest of this estate, as to just who should be the administrator.
Mm-hmm. This is, again, this is probably a wider issue than a lot of people may, they have all their ducks in a row. They can't imagine them not having a will. They can't imagine not having that already planned out. But
there's
so many more people. I think it's around 60% of North Carolinians do not have a will.
Now, it doesn't stop there in terms of just qualification, because not only does there have to be a determination as to who the administrator will be, there then has to be the waiver of the bond by each and every heir in the estate. They are going to need to waive the bond. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that let's keep in mind that this administrator, once we determine who it is going to have complete and total control over the assets of the decedent, the bank accounts, the CDs, the land, whatever the assets might be. And the state of North Carolina is going to require that that administrator be bonded. In other words, have an insurance contract that says that if for some reason they do not, as administrator, act appropriately, they do not follow the law, and make a mistake, if you will, or even an intentional diversion of assets, then the heirs of the estate have an insurance policy, in effect, that will reimburse them or will make them whole. This is called a bond.
Mm-hmm.
This is an insurance product. You get it from your good local insurance agent.
Right.
And so now the administrator has to make application for a bond.
Mm-hmm.
And this is involved and time consuming and sometimes sometimes several thousand dollars.
Yeah. And by getting the waiver signed by these family members that may already be at war with each other.
Well, I was going to say, just like the administrator, they can agree.
Mm-hmm.
That Susan should be the administrator. She's the member of the family that we all rely on. Then we don't have a holy war because the family members have agreed. If we have those facts, then more than likely we are going to have those same people waive the requirement that Susan have a bond. And they are allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to waive the requirement that Susan post a bond. And that's what happens in most of the files, of course, where they are all agreeing that Susan should be the administrator. But if they do not agree, then we're not going to get that waiver of the bond, are
mm-hmm.
we?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, even if well, they this do, happened. This happened mm-hmm. with my father-in-law when he passed away without a will. We, Denise and I had only been married a short period of time, and then all her sisters and her brother had to sign a waiver so her mom could be the administrator.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so we've got to make a decision: who is the administrator? We've got to make a decision about this bond. Keep in mind that more than likely or sometimes the money in the estate, the land, the car, the vehicle, the assets of the estate are not available mm-hmm. to Susan, and therefore she has to personally mm-hmm. pay the premium on the bond. She, of course, is entitled to reimbursement after she opens up the estate, but this can be a burden. And we have had files mm-hmm. where it is a real burden that the administrator just simply does not have the monies to pay the bond. And so you immediately see, then we just can get into a real spin here mm-hmm. in terms of making this efficient for a family.
Coming up in just a moment, more about dying without a will. What happens? If you have questions, give us a call, 247-7282. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins continues. And welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240, as we're talking with Cecil Harvell from Harvell & Collins about dying without a will.
Correct. Now, Ben, a couple of other things that we see that can get us off course, mm-hmm. Or maybe I should put it this way. I think we're already off course when a client comes in. Mm. That does not have loved one, does not have a last will and testament. We're somewhat already off course, but let's continue kind of the laundry list of things that we sometimes encounter. Suppose some of the heirs that are supposed to agree to Susan being the administrator, that are supposed to agree that they will waive the bond, mm-hmm. are under the age of 18.
Right.
Suppose one of the heirs who is supposed to sign the form relative to Susan being the administrator, waiving the bond for Susan, cannot be located.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly happens.
Or initially cannot be located.
Yeah. Yeah.
This day and age with the internet and so many search engines out there, it's interesting how we are many times able to find people.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes time. It takes time for them to reply if for some reason they are in, you know, a distant place far, you know, in a foreign country or something of that nature.
Right.
Maybe they are in the armed services. Maybe they're in the military service and they're deployed. They aren't in a circumstance where they can make an immediate response mm-hmm. To their loved one. So we, and in the meantime, the estate, its assets, the land, the car, any bills to be paid, all of these things are held hostage while we are now trying to locate mm-hmm. the person that the heir, if you will, that is in, you know, a foreign place. All of these things are held hostage while we get a guardian appointed for the minor under 18 age heir.
Mm-hmm.
So you can begin to see that it can become quite complicated. These are certainly not the estates, my friends who are listening, where, you know, where the cost can be kept low.
Mm-hmm.
These are not estates where there's been any tax considerations because there are no tax provisions in the estate plan. This is not the will. This is not the case where the estate moves with efficiency and quickness because, again, these circumstances immediately delay. You have delays and potential issues lurking at each and every corner.
That's right.
But
yeah.
Guess what, Ben? We get there, and when we finally have an administrator and we finally have either a bond or the waiver of the bond, and we have letters of administration issued to the appropriate administrator, then, of course, now it is time to move into that area of the estate, just like we do at this point under a last will and testament, where we gather together and inventory together the assets of the estate and get the bills paid.
Right.
And that usually is about, because of the statute in North Carolina, the creditors have 3 months to present their claims within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
The notice goes in the newspaper, as many of our listeners know, and there is the 3-month date set forth whereby the creditors need to present their claim. And so for 3 months, and this is true with the last will and testament as well, unless the estate is very, very solvent and there's no risk whatsoever that we're going to have debts that exceed assets, then there probably would not be any distribution within that 3-month period.
Mm-hmm. But you are, you're talking about things that need to be maintained, like mortgages need to be paid. I mean, if somebody can't even be appointed as an administrator, what happens? Mm.
They don't get paid.
Hmm.
They don't get paid. They do not get paid. The letters go out from the lawyer who is helping with this, debacle, if you will, mm-hmm. letting the mortgage holder know that the circumstances, letting the car, mm-hmm. Lien holder understand that there will not be a payment made. But what happens a lot of times, unfortunately, in those circumstances is that the heir has to pay them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or
the heir apparent.
The heir apparent or yeah. feels that they should pay it,
mm-hmm.
knowing, and they are guided by myself to be told that, well, you know, Susan, if you do pay the mortgage for a couple of months and you do pay the car loan for a couple of months, it is absolutely true that as soon as we get the estate open and we have the very first funds into the estate,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you will be immediately reimbursed. And that gives them some sense of comfort, particularly if they know that there are assets that are there.
Right.
We're staring at, you know, a bank account with, you know, $30,000 in mm-hmm. it, or a CD, a $50,000 CD. Then Susan knows that the money is there. It's just that the devil is in the details of getting there so that she can get a hold of those funds.
Okay. We'll have more mm-hmm. to come in just a moment. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, 247-7282. Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law, of course, online at harvellandcollins.com, and you can also call for an appointment. You can reach them at 726-9050 at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. We'll have more to come in a moment. And welcome back. We have Bob in Morehead City wants to ask a question. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Harvell.
Hey, Bob.
Would it not be advisable for an administrator to come in normally ahead of time if they know they're going to be an administrator and get some legal advice so they can get off on the right foot?
Well, yes, Bob. But if you're the administrator, now, do you mean executor or do you truly mean administrator? Because if you mean the word administrator, then my first advice to you would be, well, can we get your loved one to make out a last will and testament and make you the executor?
Okay. Yeah, I should say executor. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. Well.
In that case, should an executor come in?
Yes, yes. Depending on the complexity of the facts, there's mm-hmm. no problem with that at all. That happens very common, Bob. That folks like yourself, you know that you are going to be the executor. You know to some degree what you're going to confront.
Yeah.
You want to have kind of a little bit of a safety zone around you about the timeline of things. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the burial circumstances, the funeral home, who pays the bill, things of that nature, the protection of the home place, mm-hmm. if you will. And so, yes, executors come by and have a consultation, and seek a little sense of confidence about what is going to be coming their way. This particularly happens when we know that our loved one is in a, you know, an imminent, you know, yeah. death is lurking. Okay. Mm-hmm. Many times then, sometimes the children, the executor, like Bob, will come in and seek a little guidance and a little comfort.
Yeah. About, your loved one's in hospice care, for
correct,
example.
And yes, exactly. Right. There's certainly nothing wrong with that to, you know, for the will to get located.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be one of the first things that I would say to Bob. Well, where is the original will?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get that and get that here at the law firm and get it secured. Or if you prefer, Bob, find the original will and go ahead and take it to the county clerk for safekeeping. Now, they will not open the estate because there's not been a death.
Right.
But they will hold the original document in their safekeeping vault. In other words, that is really one of the threshold things that I would say to someone such as Bob, because so many times people say, well, I know I'm the executor, and here's a copy. Mm-hmm. And then the question is, well, do you have the original? Well, goodness, Mr. Harvell, you know, I don't really know that I know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's in my mom's safety deposit box, but I don't have the key,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Right, right.
So if we know that that the executorship, if you will, is right around the corner,
mm-hmm.
okay, then it certainly is a good idea to go ahead and locate the original will.
Does that answer your question, Bob?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
But again, you're going to be without the will. You're subject to the laws and the vagaries of that intestate succession law. So
that's correct.
That becomes a very difficult path to follow.
And with regard to kind of the other side, we've just got this minute, the other side of the same coin for Bob's question is that let's say that you're Bob, but you know that your loved one doesn't have a will.
And
but
it's already
you really do perceive that you will be the administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, can we get a will?
Mm-hmm.
Can Bob come in and hire, you know, Harvell and Collins to go to the home
mm-hmm.
or go to the hospital? Is mom still competent enough to be able to make out a last will and testament? Because that's going to greatly help the Bobs of the world.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If we can get that last will and testament, even if we're getting it, you know, within, you know, a short period of time before there's a death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person needs to be competent. I mm-hmm. hasten to say that. But many people are still competent, even though, bless their souls, they are very, very, very sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
yes.
right. And so, again, that's all the more reason why you want to go ahead and make sure that you get that advice from folks like Harvell and Collins.
Now, so next week, who gets in North Carolina?
Right.
Where do the assets go? And under what percentages?
Mm-hmm.
When we die without a will.
All right. Well, we'll enter into that. So get your questions ready for that. And you can join us next week here on Coastal Daybreak for another segment with Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law. Go online at harvellandcollins.com. Listen to past shows. And we'll have more next week.